Yeah. turn it for good. Oh yeah. You take what the enemy meant for me, oh, and you turn it. Such a great job worshiping along with us. We're worshiping together. We really need your voices on this one. We're going to use our voices to lift it up to God this morning. Let's sing. Raise a hallelujah.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I'll raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Amen. God, we praise you for who you are. We praise you for being a God that will fight for us, a God that will help us to see the victory, not just our victory, but your victory, that you have won the battle against darkness, God. Help us to turn away from the world. Help us to turn away from our own desires. Help us to search you, Lord God. We pray that you encounter our hearts in a way this morning that is different than we have ever encountered before, God. That you change the pieces of us and fill the holes within us that we are searching outwardly for with you and with you alone. Jesus, we praise you for being the God of the universe who loves us so individually. Help us to rest in that love and that truth this morning. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. It's a good morning. I'm sweaty now. It was cold out there. But why don't you take a second, turn to somebody next to you, say good morning before we take a seat.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. I'm going to be talking about these in just a moment, so try to ignore them for a few breaths. My name is Krista. I'm a pastor here at the church. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. If today's your first time with us, we would love to get to know you and to know that you're here and hear how this church can serve you and your family. So we'd love for you to fill out our Connect card. There are QR codes throughout the auditorium. We also have a link on our website if you're watching online at journeyoffaith.com/connect, where you can tell us a little bit about yourself, ask questions about the church. You can share some of the things that you really enjoyed about this morning, and then also have a place to fill out prayer requests. So we'd love for you to go ahead and fill that out. And then after service, if you would like to talk to somebody in person, you can head right out these doors and there will be some amazing volunteers and staff there that will chat with you. The other thing I want to say is that if you give regularly here to Journey of Faith, we are so unbelievably grateful. It does all kinds of things from keeping the lights on. Yeah. Are we clapping for giving? I think so. to helping us fund projects like this next one that I'm going to talk to you about with our Thanksgiving food drive. If you came ready to give today, we do have giving boxes. You'll notice that they have been upgraded in the last couple weeks. They have a new sticker on them. So excited about that. And then you can also give online. That's probably the primary way that people give financially here to the life of the church. So here are some options where you can give online. And then you can also set up recurring giving if that's something that's easier for you. So this next thing I want to share is that we have something really exciting coming up in the next couple of weeks. And that is our Thanksgiving food drive. It's between today and then November 23rd. And here's how it works. After service today, you go out into the lobby and you grab two of these grocery bags and you grab a shopping list. Take these to the grocery store, fill the bags with what is on this shopping list, and then return it to us by November 23rd, and we will be repackaging these things into a neat little box to deliver out to people in our community who need help with food this Thanksgiving. Right now, there's a lot of people that are without work, and just the strain of the world is weighing on them. And so this is our opportunity to just be so generous and so giving and so loving to our community. I also want to say this year we have something new. I don't want to set those down. We have something new that if while you're out shopping, if somebody's like, hey, what are you doing? We have a QR code that you can take into the grocery store with you and say, hey, my church is doing a food drive. If you'd like to participate, here's a code where you can get the shopping list. Now, they're not going to have the grocery bags. That's okay. They can still drop off the stuff here at our Manhattan Beach campus or at the Torrance campus on Sunday with the items. And so they can also participate in giving to the community. On November 23rd, let's go to the next slide. We are going to have our packing event. So after all of the groceries has been delivered back to us, we sort them, we double check them for expiration dates, and then we pack them into the boxes, like I said, for delivery. So if you would like to participate in this packing event, or perhaps even in the delivery part of it. You can go to journeyoffaith.com/food drive volunteer to sign up for that. What I love about this particular packing event is it's kind of for all ages. So if you're looking for something to do with your kids, this is a great opportunity for them to serve, especially serving in our community in such a great way. So if you have any questions, you can go to our website, journeyoffaith.com, food drive, for all of the details. And then I have one more quick thing I want to share before we head into the service. The guys are just coming back this morning from retreat. I think we had about 60, 70 guys on the retreat this weekend. So we have been praying this weekend that God has been doing some really extraordinary things in their lives. And we just want to pray for them this morning as they head back, that coming back into reality isn't always easy. So we just pray that God bless them in that and keep them safe as they drive. Let me pray for us. Dear loving Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you that as a church, we have the opportunity to give back to the community, this community that surrounds us. There are people in our community that we don't even understand the depths of the challenges that they have. And so I just pray you put on each one of our hearts to give generously back this holiday season. I can only imagine like all of the families that could be blessed if our entire church did one grocery list. So please, God, just give us the strength and the encouragement and the excitement to do that. I pray for the men coming back down from the retreat, God, that you would just keep them safe, that they would just be filled with expectation for what you want to do in their lives through this retreat. And I pray for this message. Pastor Jason will be out in a moment, just that it will touch our hearts in a very special way, that it will meet us this morning in a unique way for what we have going on in our lives. God, teach us something new about you and something new about ourselves. We love you so much, Jesus, and we thank you for today, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us for the first time, maybe visiting with us from out of town, or maybe you're new to the area looking into church, or you might be one of those people that's been around for a while, but you're looking into faith or religion or the Bible for the first time, or coming back after a while and you're here, and just want to say thanks for being with us. We're a church in more than one location, so right now we're connected with our Torrance campus. At this point, yeah, we got some, Torrance people here too. They're like, yeah, all right. So great that we can be connected in this way. Today we're starting a new series called You 2.0. And the idea behind this is that sometimes people of faith, especially Christians, are looked at as being cranky, kind of stuck in their ways, maybe overly pious, maybe even kind of negative. And we're saying, how could we be people who can help correct some of those misperceptions? Maybe you know some people that have misperceptions of Christians being like that. Or maybe you are like that. maybe we all struggle with being kind of cranky or negative or overly pious or stuck in our ways. The reality is that doesn't reflect who Jesus is and how Jesus interacted with people. So how could we lean into our relationship with God and learn from what the Bible says about how people of faith operate to help kind of correct some of those misperceptions? And if those things are accurate perceptions of us, how could we become the kind of people that could draw people closer to Jesus in a positive way? And so what we're going to do over 3 weeks is we're going to look at three underrated character qualities that we find in the Bible that are not often talked about that much at church, and we're going to see how they can be of help to us. And so the one we're going to be talking about today is this character quality, the quality of curiosity. And just to kind of introduce this topic, let me share with you something that happened a few years ago. I was reading this article online, and I don't remember the specific title of the article, but it was something like this. Los Angeles is full of dingbats. And I remember I read that heading, and my first response was, they're right. Like dingbat, the fools. LA is full of foolish people. I was like, you're right. And I got all kind of charged up. But then the next second I was like, wait a minute. I'm an Angeleno. I've been born and raised in LA. I was like, the person writing this, are they from LA? And I started feeling like they were being judgmental. I was like, how dare you say LA is full of dingbats? And then I got like really offended. So I'm like going back and forth. And then I had this moment where I said, what does this person mean? What's a dingbat? So I started looking around and I found another article related to this idea. And here it is. LA's famously bizarre apartments could never be built today. Dingbat apartments became popular in the 1950s when LA was going through a population boom. And this is a dingbat apartment. A dingbat is an apartment where you have the apartment on the top and then poles and then you have a carport underneath. How many of you knew that's a dingbat? And they're all over the place. Some of you live in a dingbat, or you lived in a dingbat. There's one right down the street. I actually did this with my kids while we were driving down, I think it was Marine, between Lawndale and Gardena, and there's a stretch right after Alondra Park, and it's all of these apartments. Some of you might know where that is. And I remember I had all my kids in the car. I was like, man, this place is full of dingbats, is what I said. You know, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, these apartments right here. And they're often called dingbats because these little stars and symbols, which on your font on your computer are called wingdings. These are called dingbats or wingdings, and that's why they were originally called. And then usually dingbat apartments have some weird name, like they name it or something. This is the very famous one, the Hauser from LA. This is a very unique LA thing. But it was interesting. What took me from being upset and offended to learning something unique about the area I live in and grew up in was this attribute of curiosity. Curiosity keeps us with a growth mindset. It keeps us learning. It softens our heart and our mind, so not only we can be open to new information, we can be open to deepening relationships, but we can also be open to God. And curiosity is one of those things that pops up a lot throughout the Bible, which is kind of interesting because sometimes it appears as if very religious people might even be the least curious. So here's what I want to share with you today. Here's the main idea. We should engage the world with curiosity. What would it be like if our initial responses weren't self-protection, feeling threatened, being offended? What if Christians were the least offendable and the most curious? Let me give you three reasons why we should engage the world with curiosity, straight from some of the stuff right here in the Bible. Here's the first reason. Curiosity builds wisdom, which is a great treasure. You know, I said that the word dingbat actually means fool. One place that we can learn a lot about wisdom and curiosity is from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a section of the Bible that's just a collection of wise sayings. Chapter after chapter, line after line, it's like, here's a wise saying. Here's something good to know. Look at this proverb. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. This was written thousands of years ago, by the way. This feels like it was written like yesterday, you know? In fact, I think the culture of social media is less about dialogue and it's more about here is a place for you to post your strong opinion. And if somebody has a competing opinion, you can post your opinion right after their opinion. All it is, and I think sometimes in that culture of social media, it starts to detrain us in our ability to dialogue with people and sets us up for a posture of, let me just wait until you're finished talking so I can say what I think. And I think that's what it does for me. I'm guilty of just really wanting to tell people what I think. So much so is I got a job where I get to do that for 30 minutes every week. You know? I had to be very careful of that. I can get into that zone. In fact, I have to tell myself at home, like when I get charged up about something, I stand up and start talking. And I'm just like, you're not preaching. Sit down and have a conversation with somebody. One of my sons does that. He goes, oh, I got this idea. And he stands up and it's like he's doing a sermon. I was like, dial it back, man. Let's have a conversation. If we're not interacting with each other, if we're not engaged curiously to understand what we're thinking with each other, it shows that we're not open to learning. And if we're not open to learning, it's actually a commentary on our intelligence. Here's another proverb that stood out to me. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. There's something about, tell me more. I want to hear more about this. That's what wise people do. And wouldn't it be great if Christians had the reputation for being wise listeners? Somebody's going through something. Man, I'm just going through a real problem right now, and I'm having a hard time making decisions. Oh, you should talk to a Christian. Why? Well, they're just great listeners, and they're very wise, and they're always interested in learning about people. Wouldn't that be revolutionary? That would be fabulous. Let's learn a little bit about wisdom. In fact, I want to encourage you to do that this week. Here's an action step for you. Read one chapter from the book of Proverbs and let God speak to you through one verse. For those of you that are with us all the time, this should be refreshing because normally we're like, read the entire book of Proverbs, you know, one chapter every day. I'm not talking about one chapter. I'm just open up the book of Proverbs, read one chapter. It's usually about 15, 20 Proverbs, and then read it through and see if one of those wise sayings pops up and grabs your attention. And then see if God is speaking to you in some way through that wise saying. We should engage the world with curiosity because curiosity builds wisdom. Wisdom is living life as God intended. Here's another reason why curiosity is really important. Curiosity clarifies truth. There's this great story in the New Testament. It takes place in the first century. Paul, who's one of Christianity's first evangelists, is going out into the world, into areas that have never heard about Jesus. And he's telling them about Jesus. And Jesus taught, and then he died, and then he rose from the dead. And he's saying, here's this new way of seeing the world. And so Paul, whose background was Jewish, he would go into a town, and the first place he would go to would be the Jewish synagogue to talk about these ideas about Jesus. And he goes into one town. It was a Greek town called Thessalonica. And he goes into Thessalonica, and he goes into the synagogue, and he talks about Jesus. And some people go, oh, I think I want to be a part of that. That's really interesting. But the majority of the town gathers a mob together and runs him out of town. So Paul leaves Thessalonica, and then he goes into a town called Berea. But Berea is very different. Their response to him is very different. And we have a record of this story in the New Testament written by Luke, who was a first century historian. And look how Luke describes what happened in Berea. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and his ministry partner Silas were teaching the truth. I love this for a couple of reasons. One, it's first century fact-checking, right? They were like, Paul, let's hear what you have to say. Oh, huh, that's really interesting. Say more about that. And then they went away and followed up and did their own study. He made a good point. Let me see if what he said was true. He mentioned this thing. Let me look that up for myself. I think that's really, really great to check, to follow up, to not just accept what people say. I think this is especially important when it comes to people in authority and in religious positions. I think sometimes people are like, look, I'm the researcher, I'm the scholar. I did my research. Trust what I'm saying. This happens all the time in religious communities. You would never question the priest or the pastor or something. They're the studied ones. No, everything I say, everything we say, you should go look it up. Go study yourself. Go check that out. That's really important. And the people of Berea in this thing, they are praised for it. The biblical writer was not like, and those Bereans, they didn't even trust what Paul said. They were like, no, they did their, in fact, they're even called open-minded. That means they were open to hearing new things. Unfortunately, a lot of times that word open-minded, it doesn't mean they're just open to believing anything. Because sometimes open-mindedness can come out. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody believes. Is it true? It doesn't. If it's not true, it doesn't matter. I'm very open-minded. Anybody, what is truth? You know, I mean, it can be anything. That's not what he's saying. Because sometimes when we're very curious and open to things, there's a negative side to that. I have believed things in the past without doing my study that I shouldn't have believed. I have, in the name of curiosity, gone and looked at things that I can't unsee. With my curious spirit, I have done things and tried things that I look back on and I say, I wish I wasn't as curious about that thing. When Luke, who's writing this, isn't saying open-mindedness, just be curious and try everything. In fact, he wrote this in the Greek language, and a better way to translate what he was saying was this, that the Bereans were of noble character, literally high-born. What that means is the people in this area were born and raised in a culture that taught them about being wise and discerning learners. They grew up in an environment that encouraged them to think wisely and critically about things and to give themselves to some experiences and not bother giving themselves to other experiences. And so they're praised for that. It reminds me of, I'm taking a class right now on research methods. Like I feel like I'm wanting to improve my ability to do research and my ability to think critically. And one of the chapter headings for the book that I just read, this was the chapter heading, listen and read generously. And what they mean in this chapter is, listen to ideas that you don't agree with and listen with the idea of understanding what the other person means and believes. Don't agree with it, but you should be able to learn it so you can articulate it. You should be able to go, I think you're saying this. And then the person goes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You believe me? No, I actually don't. I might not agree with you. But my goal is to be generous enough to be able to know what you believe and why you believe. And I think I need to do some work on that, to learn how to listen and to read generously. Let me give some advice, though, when it comes to having curiosity clarify truth. Here's four things I want to recommend as you're looking for truth, especially like online and things like that, or as people are check your sources. Who is saying this? What's their background? Are they citing sources, or is it just an opinion piece? So check your sources. Who is saying this thing? Here's another one. Caution about content designed to trigger. We're really into this nowadays. There's a huge marketing thing. Like you clicking on articles is directly linked to somebody making money for advertising dollars, right? So the headings are often intentionally provocative. Be very aware of those. Have some caution. When the YouTube video says interviewer annihilates politician, what are you talking about? I logged onto one of these, and it's like the interviewer asked a good question, and then the person didn't have a great response. Of course, it was only a 2-minute video. They probably had a better response later, but it's like that. I don't think annihilation is a really good word to refer to how to have a conversation with somebody. And again, I get suckered into this stuff all the time, especially with celebrity gossip. I get suckered. Oh my gosh. I read an article the other day and it was like, see this Hollywood legend who is completely unrecognizable now. When I logged on, I was like, that's Meryl Streep. I totally know who that is. I mean, the one I got the other day, it was, find out what Ryan Gosling is really like on the set. And I logged on, it was like, he's nice, he's a charming guy. Well, of course. It was designed to kind of trigger something. So when you see that stuff, like just recognize, I'm the attempt is to sucker me in. Here's another piece of advice, compare with trusted sources. When you read something, oh my gosh, okay, is there another side to this? Is there another source that could give me a different perspective on this same topic? And maybe not disagree with everything, but would give me another way to look at it. Who could I ask, or who could I refer to? And maybe it's another article, but maybe it's a person you know. Hey, are you familiar with this? Could you read this? Give me your feedback on it. Kind of let me know what you might think about this. And then here's one more. Capture truth and continue checking. Capture the truth that is within what you're reading or what you're listening to. You don't have to throw everything away. There's oftentimes I'm talking to people and I'll be like, I'm listening to them. I'm going, I kind of agree with about 30% of what they're saying. Or I agree with like 70%. I don't have to agree with everything, but there's stuff in there that go, I actually agree with that part of it. We're living in kind of an all or nothing culture. You either totally agree with me on everything or you're the enemy. And there's something about, no, I'll capture that truth. And then, hey, I'm going to keep looking into that. I'm going to keep checking that out. That makes me curious. I'm going to keep looking into or thinking about or reading more or having more conversations about that other stuff. I always think it's kind of like how Jesus talked about prayer. Sometimes Jesus talked about prayer and he's like, pray about this, and then God answers. But most of the time, I think prayer is like this way that Jesus taught. He said, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. It's not a one and done. It's not a quick fix. Curiosity is a character trait that keeps us engaged in growth and dialogue. In the same way that even something like looking for a job. It's like, oh, I'm gonna put my resume out here. Is that it? I don't know. I'm putting my resume out here. Well, this is great. I'm into the third interview. Now I don't know if this is it. Let me try this over here. Or when you're dating, and you're like, oh, I went on a date. It was good. Was it? I don't know. Maybe I should try seeing this person. Or maybe this is done and I should try that. It's not simple, cut and dry answers. Sometimes it is. But curiosity is having the ability and the interest, which is a God-given interest, to continue to explore what's going on out there. And especially true with issues of faith and religion and the Bible. Here's an action step. Write out your spiritual questions and then commit to seeking biblical answers. I always tell people that are close to me, I don't ever want to hear somebody say, you know, I've always, Gosh, I've had that question for probably 20 years. You don't have to have that question for 20 years. We have a lot of answers out there. I think maybe the question won't be completely resolved, but have you taken a step in saying, I'd like to learn more about the question? Now, not all things that we're curious about when it comes to the Bible and faith are equally as important. One of the things, if you're new with us, one of the things we talk about here is looking at your beliefs like a bullseye. So the center of the bullseye is where we want to end up, and that's the questions and the answers we want to die for. These are the most important things. Does God love me? Am I created with purpose? Can Jesus forgive my sins? Can I have a life with God? Those are questions that you don't want to go, well, who knows, really? I mean, who knows about that? I mean, there's so many different views. Like, those are the ones you want to lock in on. There's some other views that you might defend, but they might not be as important. You'd be like, well, I want to defend the fact that I do believe what the Bible says is true, or I do believe that God's Spirit can reside in me and work in my life. I do believe that Jesus is going to come again one day and change things in the world. But the majority of the questions out there are really questions that we can remain curious about, that we can have differences on. Yeah, I don't see things exactly the same way, and that's okay because it's not the center of the bullseye. Or we might be like, this is actually what I used to believe about this issue, and now I've been reading a little bit more and discussing it with people, and I'm kind of exploring some new ways of thinking about this idea. But let me give you some advice on the issues that are the hard topics when it comes to faith and religion. And I mean hard topics meaning when we bring them up, it creates energy. People get charged up. We get charged up. The emotions are high. The conversations are difficult. On those hard topics, approach the hard topics with curiosity and not fear. When a topic comes up, you go, yeah, tell me about that. And if you're feeling that fear and anxiety, just ask God to speak to you in that moment, to turn that energy into something where you want to listen and read generously. You don't have to agree, but you can listen and learn. Here's one more reason we should engage the world with curiosity, and it's this. Curiosity opens doors for greater relationships. I did a quick search online, and I said, out of all the stories that we have in the New Testament about Jesus, how many questions did Jesus ask? It's about 300. That's a lot of questions for somebody that knows everything. You know, like, why do you know everything? Why are you asking so many questions? Jesus's questions, sometimes Jesus did those gotcha questions where he was setting people up. And that was usually toward religious leaders who were in power, who were hypocrites. Most of the time when Jesus was asking questions, it was just a way to draw people out, to see what they were feeling and thinking, to develop relationship. And that's what curiosity can do. It can help draw us into deeper relationships, but it does require listening and growing. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're a great listener, 1 being, what was the question? Where are you and how could you grow in that way? Jesus's half-brother, James, was talking about how important listening was in the first century as Christianity was growing. And look what he said. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. That's a really powerful statement because I think sometimes we might measure our commitment to God by how angry we are about the world or about this politician or about this view, and I get angry and see that means I'm more morally righteous. We need to kind of check that and maybe reflect on that. We'll talk a little bit about self-reflection next week. But I find it's interesting, James says, you need to be quick to listen. Notice it's not quick to argue, quick to express your opinion, quick to disagree, quick to escape. It's not any of those things. It's also not we should be quick to agree. It's quick to listen and then be aware of the emotions that we're experiencing in that moment. Now, some of you are like, this curiosity thing is, that's really good, but you don't understand, I have ADHD, and it's harder for me. I would actually say, I go so far as to say, it's actually easier for you. I ran across this great article last week. People with ADHD may have an underappreciated advantage, hyper-curiosity. If you struggle with ADHD, you are inherently a profoundly curious person. I think the spiritual growth is, how do I direct and leverage that curiosity to the relationship that's right in front of me, to kind of nourish it and nurture it? What would that look like? So this week, here's one more action step for you. Spend twice the time in conversations asking questions than giving answers. And then consider inviting a person to church. What I mean by the first part of this is, think about when you're in a conversation, how much time do you spend listening and how much time do you spend talking? When I was being trained as a chaplain, we would go out and do visits in the hospital and then we'd come back to our supervisor and we had to write out a verbatim account of how the conversation went. I said this, they said this. I said this, they said this. And the goal was 80% them talking, 20% me talking. Where are you at in that? That's generous listening. What would that look like and how could that influence your relationships? And then in the process of listening and learning and being curious, is there an invitation to tap into some of their curiosity? Say, hey, I'd love to invite you to church sometime. I always tell people, I'd love you to come to church with me. I'd love to get a sense of what you would think and what you would feel about what that experience was like. My goal is not to get them to believe something. My goal is to find out how they responded to what they were experiencing. And that's a generous approach and a curious approach to presenting people with faith and having to figure out where they're coming from. Here's what we talked about today. We should engage the world with curiosity. Curiosity builds wisdom. Curiosity clarifies truth. Curiosity opens doors for relationships. This week, be curious. Don't be a dingbat. How about that? Let's all stand. We're going to close our service today. If you're new with us, you want to find out more about our church, we have this connections area right outside. If there's something you'd like to talk with somebody about or pray about, we have a prayer team that's available down here near our cross, and someone would love to be able to listen to you and kind of join you in that time. Next week, we're going to talk about one more kind of underrated character quality that we need as people of faith. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for placing us in such an amazing world. As we go out this week, help us to be curious. Curious about what you're doing in our lives. Curious about what you're doing in other people's lives. Curious to build relationships with people that you love. God, thank you for the opportunities that you give us this week. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week.